Good afternoon, and welcome to 3 Tune Tuesday for Tuesday, July the 11th. You have found your way to my virtual cozy cottage in the digital countryside. Please do come in. Everyone is welcome. There are more than enough oversized, very well-cushioned Victorian chairs for everyone. Please be comfortable, sit back, and relax. 3 Tune Tuesday is an opportunity for me to share three songs from the early era of recorded music, before roughly 1925-1926. The world was perhaps a little bit quieter at the time, maybe a little bit slower, and music was played by wind-up spring-powered phonographs. So please sit back, close your eyes, and let yourself be transported back in time to the 1920s with me. This is our first show of July. Last Tuesday was a holiday here in the United States. We enjoyed some well-deserved time off here at Blind Skeleton. I hope everyone who had some time off last week had just as good of a time. We are happy to be back. We're ready to get right back into the swing of things. Today we'll be talking about how radio influenced music in the early 20s, causing some musicians to take a new approach to how they played music, and how others were able to take advantage of the new medium. As recorded music became increasingly available and popular in the 1920s, primarily in large part through radio and phonographs, musicians and bands faced challenges and opportunities both in adapting to this new technological advancement and environment. The availability of records allowed people to enjoy music in the comfort of their own homes, which inevitably affected the demand for live performances. To remain relevant and draw audiences, musicians and bands had to find ways to differentiate themselves from the recorded versions of songs. One significant way musicians adapted was through live improvisation. They recognized that the unique energy and spontaneity of a live performance could not be replicated through recorded music alone. They began incorporating in their live shows improvisational solos, very intricate arrangements, and extended performances of the songs that people were listening to at home. This allowed them to provide a distinct experience that could not be captured in a recording, enticing audiences to attend live performances. Alongside live improvisation, new types of music venues also emerged during the 1920s. Dance halls and speakeasies became popular gathering places where people could not only listen to recorded music, but also enjoy live performances. These venues offered a vibrant atmosphere and provided an opportunity for musicians to showcase their talent and engage with the audience directly. Musicians adapted to the changing landscape by tailoring their performances to suit the energy and ambiance of these venues and the audiences in them. They crafted their sets to encourage dancing and created an immersive experience that went beyond just listening to the music. It became very interactive with the audience and the musicians. These new music venues played a very crucial role in shaping the cultural landscape of the 1920s as well. They became social hubs where people would gather, socialize, and of course experience the music of the era. Dance halls in particular played a very significant role in the popularization of dance music such as jazz and swing. The syncopated rhythms and lively melodies of these genres perfectly complemented the lively atmosphere of dance halls, creating a symbiotic relationship between the music and the venues. Furthermore, the emergence of speakeasies, underground establishments that operated during the Prohibition era, provided a space for musicians to perform and audiences to enjoy music and entertainment while circumventing the restrictions on alcohol, of course. Speakeasies really did become synonymous with the jazz age, hosting groundbreaking performances by jazz and blues musicians. These venues fostered a sense of rebellion and cultural revolution as they challenged the social norms of the time, which is something that you can see a lot of in jazz and blues music of the time. Ultimately, musicians and bands of the 20s adapted to the availability of recorded music by incorporating live improvisation into their performances. One of the bands that was really good at this was the original Dixieland Jazz Band. This was a seminal group in the development of popularization of jazz music in the early 20th century. They were formed in New Orleans in 1916 by Nick LaRocca, initially comprised five musicians, and made history by making the first commercial jazz recording in 1917, which really did begin to spark in the jazz age. Their signature tunes, like Dixie Jazz Band One Step and Livery Stable Blues, influenced the course of popular music in America and beyond. Now, improvisation was central to the music of the original Dixieland Jazz Band, embodying the creative spirit of jazz. In their live concerts, the musicians would typically start with a written arrangement, which would set the mood and the rhythm for the piece. As the piece progressed, each member of the band would take turns improvising solos. These solos were often spontaneous and unpredictable, allowing each musician to demonstrate their individual virtuosity and creative flair. Their music wasn't just a fixed, predetermined set of notes. It was a lively conversation among the band members, full of surprising twists and turns as jazz became want to be aware of. So we're going to kick off our three-tune Tuesday set of songs with a song by the original Dixieland Jazz Band named Margie. And that was the original Dixieland Jazz Band. That was after they changed their name from Jazz, JASS, to Jazz, as we are familiar with it today, JAZZ. So if you're listening in today, I certainly do appreciate it. Thank you very much. I do have a programming note, whereas Three Tune Tuesday, every Tuesday at noon, is where I do get to share some early acoustically recorded songs. We have our sister program coming up tomorrow night, every second and fourth Wednesdays of the month at 8:30 p.m. We have Electric Dreams, which is where we get to share some of our early electrically recorded songs from roughly the years 1926, 1927 to about 1937. Oh, it's the ad. These records were recorded as electrical amplification became a thing, and it really did begin to push forward music into the next era. That is tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at Planned Skeleton. Now, in addition to phonographs, the 1920s witnessed a remarkable growth in the number of radio stations, which of course had a profound impact on the music industry. Radio became a powerful medium for decades after that for communication and entertainment both. It revolutionized the way music was disseminated and consumed. It arguably had a negative impact on the surface, at least on the recorded music industry, in the sense that radio could provide a wider variety of music to the listening audience. That notwithstanding, radio broadcasting did play a crucial role in breaking down geographical barriers and facilitating the emergence of national stars. Prior to the widespread availability of radio, musicians and bands primarily relied on live performances or recordings to reach audiences. Radio, with its broad reach, allowed musicians to broadcast their music to a vast number of listeners simultaneously. This exposure did enable talented artists to gain popularity beyond their local or regional spheres, resulting in the emergence of national stars. Artists who were previously limited to performing in specific geographic areas could now reach audiences in different states across the entire nation, which fostered a sense of national unity. Radio programs and shows played a pivotal role in popularizing various musical genres and contributing to the recognition of artists. These programs featured not just recorded music, but live performances as well, interviews, and a curated selection of music that catered to diverse tastes. They became an essential platform for showcasing emerging talent and established artists alike. Programs dedicated to specific genres, such as jazz, blues, or country, allowed listeners to explore and appreciate different musical styles. By featuring live performances, radio programs provided audiences with a sense of immediacy and intimacy, creating a unique connection between artists and listeners. One of the artists and musicians who was able to take advantage of radio was Paul Whiteman. The King of Jazz, as he was known, was one of the pioneering artists who capitalized on the growing radio industry in the 1920s. With his innovative approach to popularizing jazz, Whiteman recognized the immense potential of radio as a medium to reach a very broad audience. Whiteman's orchestra, known as Paul Whiteman Orchestra, or the Paul Whiteman and His Ambassador Orchestra, gained significant widespread popularity through their radio performances. He was able to negotiate contracts with radio stations, securing regular airtime for his orchestra, so he would not be mixed in with a number of other regional or national artists. He had his own time. This allowed Whiteman to broadcast live performances and showcase the really vibrant sound of his ensemble, featuring both instrumental arrangements and vocal performances as well. What we have coming up for you next is a Paul Whiteman song. It is a foxtrot named Humming. This was recorded in 1921, just as everything with the radio was really beginning to take off. And this would have been one of the songs that he was very known for playing live. This particular song is being played on my Victrola VV210. So with that, we have reached the advertising portion of the show. Thank you for tuning in, listening, and giving me the opportunity to share some other information with you. If you are listening on the website, if you're listening live or via the broadcast, I do encourage you to hunt down our social media links and give us a follow and share on social media. More than happy and pleased if you would share the good blind skeleton word. Of course, we do have on the website as well a database of all of our entire library of music. You know, all the music that we do play here is from our personal collection. We don't play pre-recorded music except in very rare circumstances. We play them all live, and they do come from our collection. Should you hunt down the database, find a song that you like and would like to hear, do send in a request. I will be more than happy to play it at the earliest convenience, and when I do, I will be more than happy to send you a coupon in the way of thanks for 10% off of our sister site's coffee brews, which does bring us to the advertising portion of the show as stated. We do have our own roasts of coffee. Every day, of course, here at Blind Skeleton is Halloween, so we have started up Skeleton Brew Coffee. Skeleton Brew is a small batch specialty coffee roastery. Every roast is brewed after order, so you can be ensured of its freshness. It will get to you within 3 to 5 days after ordering from the roastery itself, and we've undoubtedly got something for everyone who loves coffee. We've got light coffees, dark coffees, espressos, and cold brews. Be sure to check it out at skeletonbrew.coffee. The last portion of our show is concerning record labels. Record labels, of course, played a crucial role in promoting and distributing recorded music from about the advent of recorded music. Back in the 1800s, when music was recorded initially onto cylinders, Edison and Columbia in particular had their own labels of records, Edison and Columbia respectively. Now, when Berliner ultimately created the first flat disc, he created records with the Berliner name and label on them. Now, by the 1920s, the key players in the industry were RCA, well, I should say Victor Records and Columbia Records. Victor, of course, was purchased by RCA in the late 20s and became RCA Victor. Both of these companies had access to advanced recording and manufacturing technologies, even in the early 20s, which allowed them to produce high-quality records and recordings that they could use to reach a very wide audience. They recorded not just the popular jazz and foxtrots of the time, but they did a lot of ethnic recordings, operas, and classical as well. Ultimately, by the mid-1920s, around 1926, both Victor and Columbia were able to identify how to use electrical volume amplification to assist in their recording. That resulted in a much more accurate and dynamic sound reproduction on the records, which really did explode the industry even wider than before. So, as much as the new radio technology of the time was really useful for distributing music far and wide, it was still the record labels themselves which were instrumental in discovering, signing, and promoting artists to help them gain exposure and get onto the radio. Record label executives and talent scouts, actively searched for talented musicians across genres, and it was in the 1920s that the Great American Songbook began to be populated with some of the great songs that we still know and listen to today, including the song that we've got coming up next. The impact of record labels on the commercialization of music really cannot be overstated. It was the music labels themselves, the record labels that signed the musicians and acted as an intermediary between the musicians and the radio stations and distribution. Columbia Records was one of the pioneers in the music industry at the time. They played as much a pivotal and crucial role as Victor did. The two were very heavy competitors at the time and really did push each other to be better. The song we have coming up next to represent Columbia is a song by Ted Lewis and his band. It is in the Great American Songbook, and this is their version of St. Louis Blues.
Thank you.
Okay, and that brings us to the close of our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in and spending your lunch hour with me. I now encourage each of you to open your eyes, sit up from your chair, and bring yourself back to the 21st century with me. I hope you had a very relaxing and enjoyable time listening to some old music with me. I do hope to see you all again tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. for Electric Dreams. And I wish you all a very fantastic day ahead.